Hello, hi Kim.
Hi, well, that's very odd. Anyway, don't mind me for being late to my own party, but I was sitting in the wrong space. I'm still sitting on Google Meet waiting for someone to let me in, so go figure.
No worries at all. We'll just wait a couple of minutes for our audience to gather and then we can get started. Is that cool?
That sounds great. And since I am now on my phone, I'm just going to take a moment to set up my space here a little differently. It'll be great.
Yeah, sure. Okay, thank
No
you.
worries. All good. Also, I have you on speakerphone, and I'm just putting you on a tripod so I don't have to use my hands and I can drink my coffee more successfully. But if I feel far away or it seems echoey, just tell me. I can always come up with another solution.
Definitely, I'll definitely let you know.
Thank you. Hello, you guys still there?
Yep, I'm here. So let's start it, shall we?
All right.
Okay. So hi Kim, I am Pulsum. I'm a community manager at Social Champ, and I have my co-worker with me who will be co-hosting the space with me. Her name is Neha.
Hello, everyone. Hello to both of you.
Hello, Kim.
So hello. Let's just start it. Like, how are you doing today, Kim? And can you please introduce yourself to our audience? Who are you exactly?
Who am I exactly? Okay, well, the question was, what am I doing? My name is Kim Scarvelli. I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is on the east coast of Canada. Lovely city, right on the ocean, tons of universities, so it's very vibrant and kind of alive. I'm in a great mood because the sun is shining. I work from a small home office that I had built. It's like a little building in my backyard, which is delightful. And so my coworker most days is a little cockapoo who comes across the backyard and works with me. Her name is Stevie. She's a very good worker. She basically do anything for a dog bone. I am a content strategist. So for the most part, I, for many years, worked exclusively with big nonprofit organizations. So they have a very important message they want to send out. They need to create a certain level of trust and vibe, more or less, in an online space, and that can be difficult for them. So I come in and help to make sure that the way they present themselves online is in line with their vision and their audience, and that they're able to make those real authentic connections. I'm also the author of a book called Making Words Work. And every second Wednesday, I send out a surprisingly popular newsletter called Writing and Other Stuff, which I do very little to promote, but I'm amazed how popular it has become. So that's me in a nutshell.
That sounds super cute and very nice that you are such a talented woman. So, Thank you so much for introducing yourself. So let's move ahead and sticking to the topic of today. Can you tell us what is fundamental difference between building a community and building an authority on social media?
Absolutely. So first of all, they are not opposites. This isn't a conversation about now why you need to stop thinking about building authority and now build community. It's not like that at all. But it is about sort of adapting your mindset. So if you picture building authority as holding a megaphone and just screaming out there into the abyss all the reasons why you're an important person. So in authority, you're trying to build the image of yourself as an expert. And for the most part, authority on social media sites is gauged by your follower count. If you are an authority, you should have a ton of followers. That's really what it is. Building community is a little bit different. Building community is more like reaching your hands out and trying to hold hands with other people, and then they hold hands with other people. You know, it's a different thing. It's more about relationship building. So it's less dependent on your follower count and more dependent on the engagement that you are getting with key followers who have a lot of things in common with you. That's the fundamental difference.
That's great. So, how does a community building on social contribute to long-term engagement and bring more of a loyalty among our followers?
Well, first of all, I will say that it's a lot less exhausting. So as soon as you use the word long term can be tiring. To do anything long term can be exhausting. And to be screaming into that megaphone all the time, just trying to get more followers, more followers, more followers, it can be very depressing. There's no sign of success. Like if I had 100,000 followers tomorrow, Anne Handley would have a million followers. You know, I'm constantly comparing myself to other people. I'm never really going to be successful at it. And so it's hard to keep doing it. But anything that you are successful at normally requires that long-term thing. When you're focused more on building community, you have a key group of followers who actually talk to you. They tell you what's going on in their world. You tell them what's going on in your world. You share each other's posts. Comment on things. Sometimes we'll even move it a little bit offline. We'll have a phone conversation or we'll engage in a group chat. I am a member of one group called Launch and Founders. We've been communicating actively since COVID. So that kind of community building, instead of exhausting you, it actually gives you energy. You know, it's the same idea as going hang out with your friends, having a coffee date. It improves the way you feel about your career, your life, how things are going. It's called social media. So it really is designed to work best when you are social. And so long term, it'll allow you to slowly build your follower count. You can still do that authority thing, but ultimately, I think you are going to be more successful at it. And most of all, you're going to have more fun at it. And that really is important.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because as you mentioned about the COVID-19, it has impacted the life of people, and
Yes.
they have become a big change in that. And usually people have not been in the same routine and the things they have used to be. Definitely
No.
bring a change.
Well, I also say I think that we all became very isolated, maybe partly because of
Yeah.
COVID-19, maybe the shift to being online was just required. But personally, I have worked online for more than 20 years. I have worked in a home office in my backyard for almost 15 years. The people who work for me and the people who work with me and my clients can be in any part of the world. For example, I have a lot of clients in Ireland. I personally have only been to Ireland once. So that it's really important to one of the things you're fighting against, in my opinion, is mental health and loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really important thing. And building community, even if it is an online community, it's real. It gives you an energy and a positivity, and it makes it clear to you that A, you are not alone, and B, you are talking and communicating with real human beings. And frankly, that is really important. It's also a really important business advantage because people don't really care that much anymore about brand. I hate to say it, but You can build a website in 20 minutes. You can populate it with content using AI in another, what, 60 minutes, 90 minutes? You can make a bunch of fake case studies. People have gone very skeptical about all the trimmings of success, the fonts, the brands, the colors, you know, the 10 million Instagram videos. So they really want that personal connection, and they are more inclined to buy things from you, promote things that you do when they actually believe you are a real human being.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because I feel that in the COVID-19, the people were in isolation, and in the loneliness, you feel that you have something and you explore the things. Also, if we talk about the community, so also about the content. So just getting like content in 9 minutes from AI, it's easy. But yeah. Getting the followers is easy now, but having a potential community where the people are connected with you, they talk to you, and engaging, because having followers is something which is very common right now, but having a community which is potential and engaging with you is what that means, because your audience, your community is like a family from which you could connect, you could ask, and you could learn.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or sound like I am not a particularly moral person, but I can build a spectacular image for you in a week. I mean, I honestly can. I can make a brand feel so warm and fuzzy and lovable. That is what I put my children's university doing. But yeah, they can, if they can't sustain it, they cannot sustain it. So in the last 5 years in particular, a lot of my content strategy work is not so much about just putting words out there. It's about figuring out how to maintain those connections. And social can be a really important part of that, or it can play against you. So I think the biggest part about building community on social is that that is really how people know you are real. That is the truth of it. Followers count does not show you're a real person. It just shows that you bought followers or got followers somehow.
Yeah, that's the main thing. That, like, I was just looking into your profile, and there was a description that written that this is not AI, this is what I am. So that is something that attracts me, that, oh, like, if I'm reading any content from here or if I'm learning something, that means that this is from the experience of Kim, not from an AI or over the internet that has been copy-pasted somewhere. It is from a personal experience that she has written, and she is just sharing her personal experiences and how she has been, like, running the work. And she had, like, obviously you have written a lot of content, so obviously you have been in things where you experience it. So if we talk about social proof, so what does the idea of social proof impact community building compared to establishing authorities?
It's a bit different. So when we talk about social proof in that traditional sense, we are talking about, for example, in an online setting, it would be a whole bunch of logos that you put on a website, or testimonials, case studies. Those things are social proof, statistics on how many people use something or benefit from something. Those are elements of social proof. You see a lot of it on social media where you're transcribing those things. People give a wonderful testimonial of my book, and I take that person's beautiful words and I make a pretty Instagram thing of it and I share it. That works as social proof. But again, it's based on that megaphone idea. It's me hollering, look at me, look at me, look at me, see what these people said about me. And it's not something, you definitely have to do that. You have to do some of that. Toot your own horn, it's okay. But the kind of social proof that builds community is different. So using my Launch and Founders group as an example, this is a group of, I think, 26 women in marketing that are all over the world. It sort of came together during COVID, when some of us were doing quite well because some elements of marketing took off. Others were struggling a little bit, and we developed a sense of community. The way you build social proof in a community is by showing up. And by that, I mean you, for example, if you're building a community, make a list. It doesn't have to be a public list. Make it a private list. Put all the people that are part of that community on that list, so that when you first say open Twitter in the morning, or X, I'm going to keep calling it Twitter because X is ridiculous. So when you open Twitter in the morning, that's not a word, it's just a letter of the alphabet, people. Yeah. So when you, or it's a multiplying sign, do we call it multiplication platform? too much. So what I'm saying is when you go online in the morning, go to that list, look and see what those people are saying, and interact with them. That is how you build social proof in a community. I build it by saying, wow, Mako, that's a really cool post you just made. Or, oh, Debbie's going to be on a chat next week. And you share that and you say, Deb Coleman's going to be on this great chat next week. Or Madeline Squire is doing the most interesting thing next week. You share it with other people. You all use that megaphone to amplify each other. And you show up and comment and interact with people and within that group. And you do it quite consistently. Like I recommend daily that you take 5 minutes and you peek in that core group. And so over time, you build social proof with the other members of that group. They know that you are going to help them build an audience and share their news and that you are interested in what's happening in their world and they will reciprocate. And truthfully, it's about engagement.
Yeah, building audience and community is actually important. And I believe like I have seen people where they do not connect with people or just comment somewhere because they feel like they have a bigger community and they don't like to comment on somewhere place. But this works vice versa, because if you are commenting somewhere, if you are just engaging with people, that is helping you to build your community as well as that could help the other person as well. Because if you're helping someone, it is going to just come back to you. But like, as you just told me about how the community is work and what is the social proof is, but there should be like, there would be some downsides or pitfalls of solely focus on building authorities on social media platforms. So what do you want to say about it?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest pitfall is that it's lonely. I understand that we all like to really talk about the business elements of everything, but I have been an entrepreneur and run my own business or own my own business since I was, I think I opened my first business at 20. And I sold that one and moved on. And, you know, I've morphed a few times over the years. But for the most part, I've maintained an energy level for whatever it is that I'm doing. And you maintain that energy level by enjoying what you do. And I don't believe that there are very many people who enjoy being all alone with no social connections. That is just, it does not actually work. So I think that the biggest pitfall, when you focus on building authority, one of the biggest pitfalls is that you're alone. You're not getting enough input from other people. So you also create a little bit of an echo chamber. You know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. And you never really know anything else because you're not listening. You're just talking. So from a business perspective, you're not staying cutting edge. You're not learning new things. You're not staying ahead of the curve because you're only talking to yourself. The other big pitfall that I see is that you cannot win. So as an example, I think I have, 9,500 followers or something on Twitter. If you are somebody with 2,000 followers, I probably look really successful to you. If you are someone with 100,000 followers, I look like nothing. No matter how many followers I get or how much authority I build, I will never build as much authority as somebody else. You are always going to be doing that fear of missing out thing. There's no finish line. There's no point where you go home, pour a glass of wine and go, "Whoa, I made it." Whereas, and we need that. We're human beings. We actually need success. Success is what lights the fire in your belly that makes you go have more success. Failure just doesn't do the same thing. So I think the biggest downside of focusing on building authority is that you can get very wrapped up in FOMO and not get those moments of success that you really need to have to move forward and actually build authority, which is kind of ironic, isn't it? You build more authority when you stop worrying so much about building authority.
Yeah, exactly. Because like building a community on social media can be challenging due to initial traction, because obviously you're being alone. And I feel that writing content is itself a difficult task, because you have to collect all the ideas and just write it down in a single page where you are just, you have to be precise about the topic. You don't have to go anywhere else. And also if you're just building a community where you are solely alone, and sitting in a place where you have no social connection and you're just connecting with people over the internet, that could be difficult because you might know that don't know how the social interaction in person is. So obviously,
and you also have to think what you're, when people talk about building authority, that is not the end game. So on social media, as in every other thing you do professionally, your end goal is generally, it is build authority, but ultimately, let's be honest here, it is to earn money. It is to be financially successful. It's not an embarrassing thing to say. We're not all in this for our good health. We are in this to win it. So you need to set clear financial goals or clear authority goals. Like, what would you deem as successful? So in a community building scenario, it's easier to define that. Having 5 positive interactions a day. That is something you have some control over. You can do that. It's readily. But if your goal is get 200 new followers, well, you know, Elon could change the rules tomorrow. Yeah. And you're not just going to not get 200 followers. You're going to lose 1,000. Like, you're it's so beyond your control that I think focusing on building community eventually builds authority anyway. It just builds it in a more comfortable way that can align better. And to give a couple of examples of how it can work, just in the last 12 months, as part of Launch and Founders, and by the way, they're not my only group, but they are my fave. They're my favorite group. I'm now a contributing featured author on a very popular site called She Owns It by Melissa Stewart. And that really wasn't because I send a bunch of blind things. It was because she's part of my group. And I said, I'd like to be a contributing writer. And she said, cool. Because we already felt like we knew each other. I have never met her. She has never met me. But we have been friends on that forever. I've been featured on Deb Komen's Twitter spaces. I've been featured on, you know, a number of these different spots. I've had 3 phone calls with 3 other members of this group that have had marketing challenges, and I've given them free marketing advice. There's a yin and a yang to it. And I would say that in terms of my goals, there have been genuine business advantages to that community. I cannot say the same thing about the rise from 7,000 followers to 9,700 followers. Nothing really changed in my world because I reached that number. Just saying.
I mean, that's really kind of you that in 2023, like, no one gives free advices anymore. So I appreciate your, how would I say, your loyalty and your confidence.
Oh, by the way, giving free advice, putting things on a website or throwing things out on social, like, I give free 30-minute consults. Don't do that. Oh my gosh, don't do that. Don't give away something that's supposed to have value. But the flip side of that, finding people who do interesting things that you are interested in and helping them, like proactively help them, is a fantastic way to learn more about your market and your audience and get ideas and things. Again, community building, just on social, but social is a really lovely way to build that community. Like me, and you work in a backyard office, how else am I going to make connections? Like with cockapoos? Like, social is how I communicate with people.
I mean, that's a great strategy, and that was my next question, basically. So apart from that, what strategies can you think of that could be employed so to get maximum attraction between your social media community?
I think that one of the biggest risks, there are 2 risks I see, and one is what I call creating echo chambers, where you're really just creating, you know, it's a whole bunch of people patting each other around the back going, you're great, no, you're great, you're spectacular, no, you're fabulous. That's not very purposeful. So maybe you want to have a little bit more variety. Again, using Launch and Founders as an example, the majority of the women in that group could in some circumstances be competitors of mine. Sure they could. I think only 1 or 2 would be potential clients. So you can't be, how do I put it? I like the word strategy, but there's a selfishness to strategy. When you think about how you made friends with people you liked, made friends with people you thought were interesting. You didn't have a strategy in that way, short of maybe, like, for example, maybe you're in university, you're not making friends, you join a group, you join a club, you join a team. So those things you can do. Maybe you join a community to make more community. But don't be overly strategic about it. Don't build echo chambers. It's okay if someone in your community says something you don't agree with. You can live with that. It's okay. It's good to have some diversity. That's another one. Build diversity. I am a middle-aged white woman. I have nothing against other middle-aged white women, but I want a more diverse community. It's okay to have a man in your community. It's okay to have people from all over the world. That's the fun of social. Make sure everyone in your community doesn't look like you, sound like you, and speak exactly like you, because then you don't have a community. You just have an echo chamber. And there's not much productivity there. Everyone's just trying to use everyone. I'll give you the example. I used to be a member of a chamber of commerce many, many years ago. And I'm not dissing chambers of commerce, but you would show up at business events and 99% of the people in the room were consultants. It was just a bunch of consultants having coffee and wine and trying to sell each other things. Business owners weren't turning up at these events. It was too salesy. So one of the risks when you're attempting to build community, don't get so strategic that you're really just trying to find people that are going to buy your stuff. No, no, no. Try to build a community of people that you find interesting, that have some common link with you, like launch and founders. Everyone is involved in marketing. I have another community where one of the only thing that they all have in common is that they tend to post things that are funny. I actually call it Funny Folks. And it's a group of about 30 of us, and we post things that we find amusing. We don't all have the same sense of humor, but I can count on that community to give me a giggle on a depressing day. The other thing you have to be really careful of are trolls. It's amazing how people will try to get into these communities, and it's strange. Often it's because they completely disagree with you about everything. I don't know why you would want to do that to yourself, but you do have to be a little bit sensitive to that and not engage. Just don't engage with any trolls to try to get into your community. Just block them and move on and keep having fun with the group of people that you've built.
Well, all of these strategies are, I would say, your friends. They were very insightful and very pragmatic. And talking about diversity was it's an excellent thing. Like, basically, diversity is needed in everywhere, and communities are made of diversities, of course.
Yeah, it's okay if someone disagrees with you. Someone in one of my groups that's the other one. If you're in a community, unless your community is about politics, mm-hmm. stay the hell out of politics. Just stay out of it. Run. I have a couple of key issues. Like, I'm not going to be in a group with someone that denies global warming. No, I'm not going to be in a, that's ridiculous. We can't do that anymore. I'm not going to be in a group with someone who's genuinely a misogynist or a racist. No, absolutely not. But can I be in a group with someone who has more conservative views than I do? Sure. You know, whatever group you're in, if the vibe you're getting from that group is more positive than negative, stay there. And if it feels distasteful or unpleasant, leave. The biggest problem is getting in maybe the wrong group and not having fun with it. And if you just keep focused on the having fun part, you'll end up in the right place with the right people. It'll work out for you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, politics makes everything messy, so it's better to stay away. Yeah, that's correct.
It's nasty.
So coming to my next question, how can community-driven content on social media resonates better with audience compared to authoritative content?
Well, that's really interesting, because I think you need both. I mean, I've written a book called Making Words Work. I send out a newsletter called Writing and Other Stuff. So at some point, I have to be able to confirm that I am an authority about making words work and about writing online. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to continue to thrive in that space. So I think that you always need some authority building content. When you are part of communities, first of all, if you picture that idea that your authority is like screaming through a megaphone, I know all about this, read my new article about verbs and nouns, whatever. that can be exhausting and tiring, and you can only scream as far as your audience exists. When you have that community in place, all of those people pick up their megaphone and they holler too. Read Kim's new amazing article on nouns and verbs. So I think that you still should build that authority content, but the community-driven content, which really is, that's your engagement, your sharing of other people's things, your giving people a shout out, that they work together. They're a hand-in-hand thing. It's not either or. Community-driven content is when you are when you're holding someone else's hand. Every piece of content that goes out through social media that mentions other people you know, that tells people how great they are, that's your community-driven content. And ultimately, this is called social media. That is your most powerful content. And then your authority-driven content is the stuff that's telling people what makes you an expert, and your community helps to throw that into the world. It's that sort of many hands make light work philosophy.
That's amazing. Like, till now, if I see you have guided us a lot about how to actually build a community and with being effective and being engaging with them, like the method you just told, that give 5 minutes in answering the community, where you could actually bring the community on a page where you could engage with them and have a potential audience. But if we talk about platform benefits to the business and individuals, like, what positive outcomes can be expected?
Oh, all kinds of positive outcomes. So first of all, I like to think of it this way. Have you ever gone to a party, like you're just schmoozing at a party, and there's always that person at a party that just never stops talking, and they jump right into, here's who I am, and here's how I'm amazing, and here are the 15 things that I've done in the last 6 months. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Everybody naturally moves away from that person politely, but we move away. And then you've got the other person who basically just stands in the corner and nods at you and tries to be part of everything. You can't be that person. You need to find the balance. So the balance for me is that you're the person at the party, think of social as a party, who introduces themselves politely, tells people a little bit about themselves, then asks them a question, then reflects an interest in their answer, and then says something else about themselves. It's a give and take. It's a conversational element. And when you do that, part of it is the listening. So you're going to get feedback. You're going to gain insights. You're going to learn new ways of doing things. And ultimately, that is actually, believe it or not, going to make you create better authority content. It's going to build your follower count. It's going to do the things that you are in social to do. And it's going to do them more effectively, and it's going to do them in a more pleasant, less mentally taxing way. The game here, as we said in the first question, is long term. You want long term success that can survive the ups and downs, and you are not going to achieve that, in my opinion, unless you are either building community or you're outsourcing it and there's somebody else doing all your social media and you don't do it at all. It's got to be A or B.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are a lot of platforms, and I have seen even a lot of people that have been gone on the hype and they just vanished, because if you're just posting all the content you actually have or you are getting from the AI at the same time, you don't have anything next. Like, no, if we see people...
Yeah, it's exhausting. And we're in a very volatile space. So, you know, all the foolishness surrounding Twitter is a really good example. And also, there are always new platforms opening up. So when you've built a community, you will discuss it amongst your community. I discussed Mastodon within my community. I said, who's going over here? Are we all going over here? Are we going to be there? And about a half of the people in one important community said, yeah, we're marketers. We're going to go over there. So we all set up shop on Mastodon. We all followed each other. So immediately we had a little bit of an audience. You know, we're not just, so the first thing is that you're going to audience build on other platforms more successfully. And then you're also going to be able to get feedback. So 6 months into it, I say, I don't think I'm feeling this. Like, I think it's a lovely platform. I love where they're going with it. I don't see what this has to do with me. And surprisingly, the half of people, there was only one or two people that said, oh my God, I'm grooving over here. I love this. This is the best place ever. The rest sort of left. So I felt comfortable saying, all right, Mastodon, I'm going to stop that. It's not my thing, because I had some insights and feedback. So I think it helps you to be more confident about the moves that you make on social. And it definitely reduces your churn rate. May I also mention, when you build community, it tells you you can't build community with fake accounts. Fake account doesn't engage with anybody. So you don't end up with the bots. You don't end up with the weird things. So when platforms like Instagram or Twitter or whatever, when they do these big purges and they decide they're going to get rid of all the fake accounts or all the inactive accounts, and your follower count goes bleh and hits the ground, and you wake up one morning and apparently 2,000 of your followers have fallen off the planet, you will still have that same community. They're not going anywhere because they're not disinterested. They're on there all the time. They are real people. So you're almost bulletproof. I feel very bulletproof. Elon can come and take away some of my followers, but he can't, unless he shuts the whole thing down, those communities are still there and they're still active and they're still paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. The active and the live community does matter. No one want like dead followers or people who just shows you that you have like this number of this K followers in your account, but they are not engaging. And if we see the account that shows as a dead account, and even the posting that are going there, like if you talk about the content, it's all about from AI. AI is just getting paid. And what if AI dies? Doesn't go very well.
Well, I mean, AI is not going anywhere, but I think of in the world of community building versus authority, AI to me as a writer is more like a life jacket. Mm-hmm. So if you have an area of weakness, if you're a weak swimmer, you're out in the middle of, you're a marketer and you're a weak writer. It's not your thing. You know a lot of things, but your writing is not great. So put on your life jacket. Bob around in the water and AI will keep you afloat. It won't give you amazing content, but it'll give you enough content to stay afloat. But it won't build community. It's not really what it does. And if you're a really good writer and that's your strength, chances are great you're leaving the life jacket in the boat, because you're having a good time playing in the water and you don't really need a life jacket. It's just an annoying, cumbersome thing. It takes me longer to write something using AI than it does to write something, because I'm really good at writing something. And I enjoy it. So I don't know why I would put that life jacket on. It makes no sense to me. But there you go. That's my spiel on AI. Maybe you just become a better writer and move on without it. Just saying.
Yeah, that's so great of you that you are confident enough with your work that you don't need AI. But for the people who are just using AI, they should consider that the AI is just a part of it. You should not totally rely on AI, because it's something which is to help you, not to just rely on something. And if we just recap the session, like from the start, you tell about your achievements and how you have been working in the content, you have written a book. So can you just share like a short success stories or study cases where you have demonstrated the transformative power of community building on social media, like where businesses or individuals have experienced significant growth or impact in just shifting their approaches?
Absolutely. I have a colleague on LinkedIn. She shall remain nameless. And, you know, through personal issues, she had to move. She had to move to a place where she didn't know as many people. And she was genuinely struggling to build her business in that new location. And she's posting things, especially on LinkedIn, because it's a B2B platform. And because I am part of her community on Twitter, I am part of her community on LinkedIn, and I am aware that this is a struggle. I'm aware that no matter how confident and amazing she looks, and no matter how fabulous that offer is that she's putting out there, she doesn't have clients and she's stressed. So because we are members of a community, I push that. So I am going to keep making posts going, oh my God, you guys, you've got to try this new offer that blah, blah, blah is off. This is the best. Don't know if you've signed up yet, but it's going to be amazing. In doing so, I can get her a couple of people. I can help her get settled in that space, which makes me feel good. Like, I don't need anything in return. It just makes you feel good because you helped somebody. On the flip side, you know, I start a new newsletter. It's a niche. It's called writing and other stuff. I don't have time to master the entire world of newsletters. I'm just going to put it out every couple weeks. I've got an audience, you know, a few people join. It's not that big a deal. But when all of those wonderful people that know my newsletter doesn't have very many followers, when they all send a shout out saying, hey, this is a great newsletter, we love this newsletter, my follower count went up by hundreds. It went up by hundreds of people in the realm of a day. And all I really did was go to my community groups and say, it's very sad that I'm sending this newsletter out to like 25 people. Can everybody help me? This is not good. You're more authentic. You're more real with your real life people. And I think that that's really important. I think at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, it feels good to think you help somebody. And it feels nice to think that there are people that can help you. And that is really, I think, what social media was supposed to be. And I think it's what it still can be. It's just not what it is for a lot of us. And that's sad.
Yeah, that's an amazing thought. And I feel, being a community manager myself, that's what the exact definition of being community specialist or being in the community means, that you have to build a relation, or vice versa. Like, even you have been gotten a very good profile, but helping people and getting the content and the engagement in the return is what makes you happy and even alive. Your account will be alive. You're just talking to people and people knew you, not just by your content, by the person you actually are, because your profile just shows the past experiences you have. But if you're talking and just engaging with people, that actually shows that in real person, this person is actually what it is written over in the profile. And from the experiences you have shared about your content, and obviously like working from 20 years, you must have been gotten from like scratch, and you have built yourself that confident that you feel that AI is something which is like life jacket, but your content is well enough that you don't want to rely on AI.
It's a life jacket, but it doesn't turn you into someone who can swim. There is a difference between putting on a life jacket so you don't drown, which is common sense, and actually learning how to swim, which is a wonderful survival skill, you know, and lots of fun. It is not the same thing. And there's also a bit of, when you get very obsessed with this authority building and the screaming at people and the building a follower count, as I say, it's very emotionally exhausting. And I'm coming from a different position. I've been at this for 20 years. I am in that six-digit space. Life is good. I'm older. So it's very easy, if you are getting started, to go, well, it doesn't matter. This woman's already got this many people and she's making this much money and it's different for her. Mm-hmm. No. Community building is more important when you are starting. It's 1,000 times more important, because I have enough authority after 20 years to just keep screaming at people. I don't enjoy it, but I could do it. But you don't. If you are just getting started, find a community and see if you can let them, they'll nurture you. That is all I am saying, is that a member of a community that's a newer member will be nurtured by other members. And it might be a little hard to find that community, but find it. Even if it's only 2 or 3 people, find it. It will help you build. It's more important when you're first starting out than it is once you get to a certain size. It's not something you do later. It's not like, once I have 2,000 followers, I'll go build a community. No. Build a community when you've got 30 followers. It'll get you to the 2,000 followers faster. It's trust me, it's your bedrock. It's your foundation.
Yeah, that's really a true fact that the people has to understand that. And like till now, to the discussion we have, to the start, like from the very start of this event, personally, I have learned a lot from you, because in the community, there are some very crucial things which you have to understand while being in the community, and experiences. And like, if you are into something and you are trying to learn about something, that's make the difference, because you are getting into people, you're engaging with them, you're talking with them. That helps you to be in the social life, and that helps to learn from it. And if we talk about the revealing power of community building, which the topic of the event was, so this is what the power of community building on social media is, because this is going to help business and individual because community is something which is going to reflect on your profile, and that is going to help on your brand profile building, actually.
Oh, and most of all, I think it's going to help you build the resilience and sort of the sense of confidence that you need to do something over the long haul, which is really what you need to be successful at anything. Loneliness and this need to try and be better than the other people around you, it's socially so big. You are never going to be the best. You're never going to be the best, but you can be other things. You can be better and bigger, but you can't be est. The word est, est is dead now. It's the 21st century. Someone's always going to be the biggest. You're never going to make it that way. Community building is going to also give you the feedback and the insights that you need to be creative and agile and resilient. And those are the characteristics that are actually going to make it work for you long term.
Yeah, actually, these are very kind words. And I believe that we have just extended the session very long because I was just loving talking to you. And because, like, I am in this as a profession and I was just learning kind of new things from you. And that was very helpful for me and the people who are in the session. And also, this session will be uploaded on our blog's channel, like socialcham.io. And there will be a blog where we will be just posting the transcript of this session where other people who couldn't join us could have joined and read what we have talked today. And personally, thank you so much for giving us your precious time and sharing the experience which you have gone
with. Well, thank you.
Yeah, because talking to an experienced person who is very kind is just a blessing.
Just remember, ultimately, you're doing your best. Everyone is doing their best. So when you get sad or you're just tired of it all, the community building part is what's going to help you with that.
Yeah.
Building authority isn't going to be there for you when you're having a bad day.
Yeah. And also building the right community where your account is alive, not dead.
I love my Twitter community. I'm here even though this fool has called it X. I'm like, oh, well, he's not in my community, so I'm okay.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much for joining us, Kim. And we really love to have you. We could have further more sessions with you because who doesn't want to lose a gem for other sessions? Because we could have come up with other topics. And thank you so much again for joining us. Have a good day.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Take care.